World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Excuse me, I was just confessing there a little bit before we went live. I had a little bit of a pre-show here. People get on a little bit early. And I was confessing a little bit. I'm having sort of a midlife crisis. How about this? How about a mid-ministry crisis in that, what really am I doing here? What is it really that I'm doing here? And what is it that brings y'all back in here every day? Some of you get up really, really early to be here. And then what makes y'all leave? Where'd they go when they leave? Why did they leave? Is that a sign of success? Is a crowd a sign of success? Getting a big crowd? If that's true, then I could go sit in one of those mega churches. I could go to Rick Warren, or I could go to Joel Osteen's church, and hell, I could be one of 20,000 people sitting in there. And sit there and say, man, that Joel Osteen, he is really, really successful. And the question you have to ask yourself is he? I mean, really, he's successful at drawing a crowd. What's the evidence of that? What's the evidence? And there's a lot of stuff that's going on. And I want to confess. I try to confess. I try to be as honest as I can. I don't know. I was going to do a show today, but I don't know enough about it. Maybe I need to get Diana Ketterman on or somebody like that. The Noahide laws. Are you guys familiar with the Noahide laws? Do you know that they're bringing the Noahide laws? They want to codify them into law, the Noahide laws. Anybody aware of that other than me? Spencer, pull that up there. Pull up three or four. It doesn't matter which one. I'm kind of circling around here. Three or four. Not that one. I'll use that here in a second, though. Yeah, no, that's not it either. Noahide laws. Are they biblical? See, this is where I get in trouble, okay? And I'm just asking it for me. Do we follow Old Testament Torah, Old Testament laws, feasts? Is that a requirement of modern Christianity? I'm not taking a position. I'm asking. Do I have to do all the feast days and is all that Old Testament stuff? Is that still required of us? Are we supposed to do that? Is that our connection to our Jewishness? I'm not being critical. I'm asking a question. I don't know. And somebody help me out here. What is the difference between, could you explain this to somebody? What's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament? Is the Old Testament, are those the rules that we're supposed to follow? Or is it now the New Testament rules that we're supposed to follow? They asked Jesus, I'm trying to paraphrase here, what's the greatest commandment? He said, there's only two. Hey, Spencer, Google that. See if you can find that. They asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus said, you guys out there, you're trying to follow those Ten Commandments and now the Noahide laws. What's the greatest commandment? He said, well, you dummy, there's only two. What? Yeah, there's only two laws. Jesus said, Spencer's fine. I'll send you a dollar, Spencer. And then Jesus said unto them, shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second, he goes on to say, is not unlike it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And then all the religious folks got together. And Jesus asked them this. He said, what do you think of Jesus? Whose son is he? And they said unto him, well, he's the son of David. And Jesus said, well, then how did David in spirit call him Lord? The Lord said unto my Lord, what? Huh? The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. And if David called him Lord, how is he the son? And still today, no man was able to answer him. Neither does any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Can I tell you why? I think it's pretty simple. I think Jesus Christ is God incarnate. A triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Something we can't understand. Something we cannot understand. And you could follow every one of those Ten Commandments, or as they're bringing into us now, the Noahide laws. You can follow every one of them. Every one of them. And if I understand it correctly, if I understand the legalism of the Noahide laws and the Ten Commandments, you follow them all. Then you break one of them. You'd be in trouble. Anybody disagree with that? Anybody disagree with that? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Death. You sin, you die. It's called the law of sin and death. The soul that sins, it shall die. Old Testament. Jesus shows up, said, look, dudes, I'll pay the price. I'm going to die in your place. I'll pay the price. I'll pay the price. I'll pay the price. And so he dies on the cross, and anybody can. It ain't about being a Jew anymore. It ain't being about being a Pharisee, anybody, any of that anymore. It's about being a child of God, because what did he do? He died on the cross as payment for this, and the wages of sin is death. Somebody sin, you die. Somebody's got to die. So the Bible teaches that Jesus was a substitutionary death. He died a death he didn't have to pay for you and me. Substitutionary death. Yet then we find ourselves, I'm just being honest with y'all this morning. Now all of a sudden we judge one another by which rules we keep. Which rules we keep. You say, Lord, Jesus, Lord, the Sabbath, I'm not supposed to work on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a day of rest. We're supposed to honor. Oh, Lord, what if I get a job on the Sabbath? What the heck do I do? Lord, can I go do anything on Saturday, Sunday? Or did I just, wait a minute, not on Sunday, Saturday? I don't know. Is it Saturday or Sunday? Lord, I'm all, are you with me? I'm all confused here. And I want you to know this. This is what I believe, that the enemy, oh, I'm going to play that one here in a second. That the enemy has done everything he can to overthrow Christ as king, including to neutralize the grace of God, to get you saved and then think you're holy by following rules. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Vinny, I need to boom really bad now because I'm stepping on some toes, stepping on the toes. And we think now if we can just get the Noahide laws in, if we can just make more laws and people just follow more laws, then everything will be righteous. And then I come across this, and this ticks me off. You think, somebody help me out there, okay? Sorry, I have to go there. You think Israel's righteous? I said it to my wife today, that we with them in America here, Christians in America here are supporting Israel, which is murdering Christians in Palestine. Somebody connect that dot for me. So what's going on? See, deep in the heart of all of us is this idea that we can earn our way to heaven. If we're just righteous enough, if we just support Israel enough, and we just go to church and dress and cover our head properly, and if we just make the proper sign of the cross, and if we just tithe, and just all these rules, 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 rules. And by the way, I'm for following rules. We would teach our family, hey, Dobb and Myers don't do that. We don't lie. We don't steal. We don't do that. I'm for following rules. But I don't love my children because they follow rules. You? Does Jesus love you because you follow rules? And was it someplace, and I don't know where it is off the top of my head, Jesus said to the leaders, he said, you heap up command. You teach men, women, the doctrines of men. You heap up these burdens on women. Nobody can carry those, Jesus said to the religious leaders. Hey, find that for me if you can real quick, Spencer. Huh? Because we can't wait to get into a religious organization that once again puts rules and regulations on us. Somebody, I need a friend out there, Vinny. Somebody be a friend to me. Say, boom. We can't wait to get into a church organization where we have to follow rules. Because somehow, deep inside of us, we think that's how we get to heaven. We think we're getting to heaven. We're having a relationship with Christ because we're just behaving better than everybody else. And Jesus went to the rule makers, you hypocrites. Spencer, I'm going to send you $2. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you saying, the people draw near unto me with their mouth and they honor me with their lips. But they ain't doing it because they love me. They're doing it because you gave them a bunch of laws to follow. But in vain, you teach them doctrines of commandments of men. And no different today. It's no different today. We think our behavior makes us righteous. We're just really, really good Christian people. A Catholic trained told me I sin every day in thought, word, and deed. Now, I'm not so sure anymore that I believe that a thought is a sin. Maybe if you meditate on it, it becomes a sin. At some point, you just think about what that guy did to you, and you're going to get even. Maybe at that point, it becomes a sin. But the Bible tells us to take captive every thought, so a thought can't be a sin, can it? Huh? Are thoughts sins? I'm just trying to throw out some of the training I've had all over my life and stuff that I've thought about my whole life and stuff I'd never even understood about Christianity my whole life. And I find it hard to believe, is me, that some human being who hasn't received Christ is going to make it to heaven just because of his bloodline, but I'm not going to make it because I told a lie and I stole something. I disobeyed my mom and dad. Why do we always fall back into legalism, into things that we've earned when we haven't earned it? We haven't earned any of it. I think that's what frustrates me the most. I think some of the great pastors in the world, they're going to stand before the Lord, and he's going to say to them, I'm not going to use the name, scratch my back, pardon me. He's going to say, man, you built the biggest church I've ever seen. You had that worldwide ministry. Jeezy, cram, you guys were something. Praise and worship. You had smoke machines. Man, you could preach the word. It is unbelievable. Let me ask you a question, Pastor. What'd y'all do when all that homosex was going on down there in America? What'd y'all do then? Let me ask you something there, Pastor. What'd y'all do in that big old church of yours when they were murdering them babies? What'd y'all do then? You know why the church is so big? Because they won't talk about murdering babies. They won't talk about homosexuality and idolatry. They won't talk about that stuff. I'm okay, you're okay. Rick Warren, your best life now. Joel Osteen, those are the biggest churches. The old social don't have a big church because they don't talk like that. When you start naming names, you get into, I just thought of Dale. Others, Flip Benham. Flip doesn't even have a church. Flip Benham doesn't even have a church, and he touched more. I got to get him on. He touched more lives. So we teach his commandments, doctrines of men, making the word of God none affects what the Bible says. We teach rules and regulations and follow it. And that's why we have 42,000 different denominations. Oh, my God. Somebody egg me on because I'm going to get into some. I'll get into some stuff. It's going to curl some toes here for sure. My phone went off.
Keep going.
Thank you. I will. Thank Chad. Thanks, Stephanie. Thank you guys for giving me a thumbs up. Thanks. Because I'm going to tell you something. I don't know it all. I know this. Went last night to my grandson's ball game. And Michelle and I, and his dad, we went in two different cars. Over at West Jefferson, Coachee. Baseball game at West Jefferson. And we pick him all the way back. I'm driving little Davey back with us. And we're going to stop and we're going to get something to eat. And just something came up. I don't know. And I don't even know what it was I brought up. And that little guy, I think he's 10. He articulated a biblical principle to me about fell out of my car. And I thought, where did he learn that? I know where he learned it. He sure didn't learn it in Sunday school. And he sure didn't learn it in church. He learned it because his Lord taught it to his father, who taught it to him, or his mother, whoever that might be. And I looked out on that little baseball field that he's playing with, and nine guys on his baseball team. I wonder how many of those nine guys know the first thing about the Lord, know anything at all about the Lord. Little LD is because little David, he's a witness to Christ. But he has to hide it, doesn't he? Not allowed to say it. No. In fact, it's coming. All right. Hang on. I got to throw this up here. So, because when I get done, I'm going to go up there. And my wife's going to say, honey, talk about the same thing every day. I know. I'm trying to present evidence. I'm trying to give them evidence. See, look. Makes my blood pressure go up. I'm getting emails and texts about replacement theology. Did I ever mention replacement theology yet? Have I ever mentioned that? The hell is replacement theology? The idea that a Jew has to receive Jesus? That those who receive Jesus are God's chosen people? That's called replacement theology. Who taught you that? Replacement theology. What? So I gotta throw this up here just because it's important to me. It may not matter to you, but it matters to me. Pull up. The last one says 50 issues. 50 issues that Christians disagree on. I don't even know where I got this. This is why we have 42,000 different denominations. And that's why some people leave here, because they don't agree with number 6 or number 7. I can't. Wait, huh? So here, some common things on which Christians have and often still continue to divide over. Can't play games of chance. Can't even play cards. Voting, yeah, vote or don't vote. Joining a work union or trade guild. The death penalty. If a Christian could serve in the military, be a police officer, serve as an elected official. Whether or not it's right for Christians to watch movies. Letting a Boy Scout or Girl Scout troop use the building owned by a congregation. Whether it's right to celebrate holidays, Christmas. Is it a sin to not attend all the services? Which Bible translations are acceptable? Whether it's right to work on Sunday at a paid job or even around the house. Whether it's right to have the Lord's Supper on Sunday night. Whether it's right for all Christians to have the Lord's Supper Sunday morning and evening. Whether it's right for the bread to be left unbroken during the Lord's Supper, when the Lord's Supper should be observed during Sunday service, whether it's right for the communion bread to be store-bought, whether it's right for the Lord's Supper to be fermented, whether it's right to have a located preacher, whether it is right to support orphans' homes and Christian colleges, whether it's right for congregations to cooperate with one another, whether it's right to pay elders, whether it's right to eat in the place where the church meets, whether it's right to help non-Christians from the church treasury, whether it's right to have a Bible class, whether it's right to have a staffed nursery during worship, whether it's right to have children's church, whether it's right for congregations to even work together, whether it's right to use Bible class literature in addition to the Bible, whether it's right to ever sell a Bible class literature, et cetera, whether it's right to have people pay for things related to a church event, whether it's right for women that women must wear a head covering, whether it's right for women to speak in a mixed gender Bible class, whether it's right for there to be a chain prayer involving males and females, whether it's right for an elder to have only one child, whether it's right for an elder to continue serving after his wife has died, whether a baptized boy must now be in Bible class taught by men, how to deal with congregational matters without elders, whether or not a congregation may have a single elder, how old a man should be before he serves as an elder, can or should a preacher serve as an elder, whether all men must be present for a business meeting, whether or not women may attend the business meetings, voting in the local congregation, or at least some items, marriage and divorce, taking a Christian to court, making vows to God, marrying a non-Christian, praying to Jesus, praying to the Holy Spirit, role of women. That's 50 just off the top of your head. Jesus said, I wish we could all be one. And we're not. Why? Because the enemy has crept in unawares. Yeah. Boy, oh boy. Which one do I want to pull up there, Coach? That's not it. Pull up number 9. I'll get you in here, Mel. Pull up number 9. Mark Driscoll. I don't know what you think about like Mark Driscoll. I don't know his theology. As if that would matter. But he says some good stuff. And when everybody goes to church, who loves your children and your grandchildren, before I get there, how many of you could raise your hand right now and say, college destroyed my child's faith? College, I'll raise my hand. College destroyed my child's faith. And the demonic religion being sold to your children and my children with my money. Good play.
Luciferianism is actually occultic, it's deep witchcraft, and it's very ancient. Luciferianism is the ideology and the theology of deconstructionist, progressive, extreme hard wokeism. Luciferianism actually believes that the Bible is basically true, but that those of us who hold power to oppress others wrote it, and we told the story in the wrong way. Luciferianism teaches that God is a monster, that God is an ogre, that God having all power and judging people and separating things and causing divisions, that God is evil and that God was wrong and that God was domineering and God was overbearing and God was a bully and God was an oligarch and God was a fascist and God is a cruel tyrant king. And that Satan was right, that he needed to be removed from his throne, that he needed to be taken down, that in calling people sinners, he was acting in an evil way by casting demons out of his kingdom. He was doing what was unacceptable and despicable and deplorable. So Luciferianism would read the Bible and say, the only reason the Bible reads like that is those domineering, overbearing, oppressive authors told the story from the perspective of their evil God. Therefore, you have to attack anyone who is promoting Christ and Christianity, because they're not just wrong, they're evil. They would actually tell the story that God made us male and female, and he sinned against us when he did that, and it was evil. They would say that God says that we're sinners, and they would reject that God has any right to judge us. What a bully, what a tyrant to tell us that we're sinners and we need to repent. Where's his tolerance? Where's his inclusion? What kind of monster is this God? This is the heart of demonic, deep occultic witchcraft Luciferianism.
Boom, Mark. Boom. That's so simple, isn't it? Isn't that so simple? See, Lucifer doesn't come wearing a mask and a pitchfork. Okay. He comes and he sows discord amongst the brethren. That's how it happens. 42,000 different versions of Christianity. That's what we're dealing with. I'm right, you're wrong. Oh, we both love Jesus, but we're not going to come to your church because you guys speak in tongues. And we don't believe in those. And we're going to go over here and we're going to go to our church because in our church, women cover their heads. Yes or no? And so we look out over the culture and the devil is running everything because we're having a family feud. We have a family feud. 50 issues that we disagree. That's only 50. Could have been more than that. Going to go to heaven to get a divorce? What about if you get remarried? Come on, man. Jesus said what? You heap up heavy burdens. Heavy burdens you place over people. They can't follow them. It's what grace and mercy is all about. I'm not done. Come on in, Mel. We got an event this weekend. I got so many balls in the air. Sometimes that slips by. What's going on, Mel?
Hey, thanks, Coach. So, yeah, this Saturday, House to House Ohio is happening. If you want some more information on that, you can contact me at either my phone number or the email address listed. I also encourage everybody to sign up for the 9th annual huddle at Sky High in July. that's coming up fast. So make your plans, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
$10, man. Come on, man. Bring somebody with you. Thank you, Mel. So this is Saturday. What time, Mel, Saturday?
It's going to be 12 to 5. 12 okay, to 12 4, to excuse five. Me.
Okay, thanks.
Whatever. Well, we can go long if you want.
Yeah, thanks for riding herd on that. I got a lot of balls in the air. Okay, I'm sorry. So appreciate it. Appreciate you doing it, Mel. God bless you. I want to open it up here a second, but before I do, pull up number one. This stuff fascinates some people. Fritz Zimmerman. Watch this, folks. I went to Fritz's. Fritz is going to speak on at the annual. And so I went to his website today. Or it wasn't a website. He just posted this. So, Spencer, here's what I want you to do. And then I want you to just click. You know how you can click to the next one? Click to the next one. So these are some things that Fritz is, he just, you know, they found these things in some of these burial mounds, yada, yada. Keep on going, Spence. Ooh, Jacksontown. That's where I live. Look at that. Put that map, put up there, put your marker up there, Jacksontown. That's where I live. And you know what this is? This is a map of the mounds. It's a map of the mounds. Go ahead. Oh, well, that's the Ten Commandments, a copy of the Decalogue that they found at the Jacksontown Mound right over here. Now sits in Warsaw, Coshocton, Ohio. Sits in a museum, Coshocton, Ohio. A copy of the Ten Commandments. And then Fritz put up there for us. Go ahead. July 10, 11, Licking County. Magical mystery tour of the mounds and the earthworks. Folks, this is going to be so cool. I'm telling you, this is going to be so cool. Because everybody around here, we call them the Indian mounds. The Indian mounds. Folks, these weren't made by Indians. And can I tell you something? The church doesn't even get it. The church thinks they're Indian mounds. So Fritz is going to explain all of this. This is the Jacksontown Stone Mound. I could show you right where that is. As it likely appeared before destruction in Jacksontown, Ohio. Just over the hill. I can take you and show it. It's 60 feet high, 470 feet in circumference, built almost entirely of rounded glacial stones, surrounded by a ditch encircling the earthwork and eastern gateway entrance. What? Folks, we've been so lied to. Well, maybe not purposely lied to, but we don't get it, man. Well, July 10, 11. Come and join us. Okay. Now, I'm going to throw this up here real quickly. Put up number three. I don't know. Number three. Folks, I was going to do a show on this, but I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know enough about it. I really don't know enough. The Noahide laws. Noahide laws are seven ancient laws that many people view as the basis of civilized society. Their government morality represent bare minimum of what God expects of humanity. Here we go. Rules. They're called the Noahide laws because they're thought to have been given in their fullness to Noah after the flood. They're also called the Noachian laws, the seven laws of Noah, the seven commandments of Noah's son. The idea of a formal set of laws given to all humanity comes from the Talmud and is therefore extra biblical. Some scholars believe the Book of Jubilees contains a possible mention of Noahide laws, but again, the Book of Jubilees is not inspired scripture. However, the basic seven Noahide laws are based on these principles. Folks, here's why I'm even saying this. They want to make they're trying to bring these to America. You know that, don't you? Huh? You know that. So here are the Noahide laws from the Talmud. Do not deny God's idolatry. Don't murder. Don't steal. Do not engage in sexual immorality. Do not blaspheme. Do not eat a live animal. No eating flesh taken from an animal while still alive. And establish courts and legal systems to ensure obedience to these laws. According to Jewish tradition, the first six of the seven laws were given to Adam in the Garden of Eden. Wow. And the sixth law, to not eat live animals, was extraneous since Adam did not eat any animals. Okay, so I'm not going to go down because I'm not ready to talk about this yet. But folks, according to Judaism, hey, scroll down. A Gentile, that'd be us, does not have to follow the Mosaic law. However, all Gentiles are obliged to follow the Noahide laws. The laws given to Noah's children were universally binding, and a non-Jew who abides by the Noahide laws is considered a righteous Gentile, according to Judaism, and will earn a reward in the afterlife. Huh? See, reward, what I do, not the blood of Jesus, not with the blood of Jesus. He's going to get a reward in the afterlife if his obedience is coupled with the knowledge that the laws come from God and that a righteous Gentile might also be called a Hasidic Gentile, or simply a Noahide. So you get to go to heaven because you follow Jewish laws. Now, hey, somebody help me out here. Somebody help me out. Following laws that are not from Jesus, not biblical? Is that biblical? Boy, we're trying. I'll get out of it. Not trying to make you nervous. Just trying to get you to ask yourselves. Oh, I know where I want to go, Lord. Just give me the courage to do it. Go ahead, Lorian.
Okay, so on top of just following just the Ten Commandments, the Jews added over 600 extra, the Sadducees and the Pharisees added.
Hang on, Lorian. Teaching as commandments the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect. That's what Jesus said he said it to the Pharisees, and it cost him his life. You guys are making all these rules and regulations that nobody can follow. That's what he said. Go ahead.
Well, and he also called them a brood of vipers, you know, and it's the synagogue of Satan. So, I mean, that's the quote-unquote Jesus,
Lorian,
right?
You're making a lot of people really, really nervous now.
Good. I always do it, so I'm living up to my reputation.
Okay.
So, and what irritates me is so if the United States is going to do that, I guess Trump is not our president because we didn't elect him. We elected Bibi, okay? So Israel, the United States is Israel, so we're going to override our own constitution because Congress is all, they're all Israelis.
You're saying it, not me.
And as a Christian, hey, women, buckle up. Because what they did to women back in the Old Testament is no different than what they do to women in India or in Palestine. So buckle up.
Folks, these are on the verge of coming to America, these Noahide laws. You understand that, don't you? You understand it. See, we get in a fight here. All of us get in a fight here. Because if we criticize that country, some of you leave. You just won't even sit here and have a debate about it, right? who are God's chosen people. I am. He chose me. It's not replacement theology. That's not replacement theology. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that what the Bible says? It's not my bloodline. Oh, man. Hang on. Where am I? What am I looking for? Point number five. I know some of you want to get in here. Let me hang in here. I've got to show this to you today. Okay. You think that Christianity doesn't bleed over? So I Googled this morning. Bible says that because we rejected the truth, the Lord will send a strong delusion that they will believe a lie. A delusion. A strong, not just a delusion, a strong one. Who sends the delusion? God does. Why? Because they rejected the truth, received not the love of the truth. Because that, God says, okay, you're going to believe that? Go ahead. You deluded, man. So, folks, watch this. This is a medical news today. This isn't anything religious. It comes from the generally delusions make a person feel sure of something that is not true. Even if they can see evidence that their beliefs are false, they still believe it. And the American Psychological Association defines religious delusions as any delusion associated with religious content. Please listen again. This is a secular source. For example, religious delusionists may believe they have special abilities or powers, or that they are a religious prophet or a messiah. This is a secular scientific journal. Individuals experience religious delusions, that'd be me, usually feel more convinced that their delusions are real than those experiencing certain other kinds of delusions. In other words, you religious folks, you is the biggest nuts, science is telling us. A person's immediate social and family environment can influence religious delusions. And these delusions can affect people even if they are not religious. Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't want to say it. Lord, I have to say, I know of a situation where a guy got in trouble for something. And part of the treatment was he had to go to a psychiatrist or whatever. And you know what the psychiatrist said? You know what the psychiatric report that went to the court, you know what it said? They'll give him a little bit of mercy because this guy was raised in an ultra Christian environment. You hear me? So here's the sign of a spiritual delusions. Hey, medical journal, scientific journal, calling y'all nuts. This is science, right? For example, a person with bipolar disorder may be more likely to experience grandiose delusions without feeling special or superior to others. A person with psychotic depression may be more likely to experience feelings of guilt, yada, yada, yada. But how about religious delusion? Folks, this is the medical community talking about y'all. You perform excessive religious rituals. Your unshakable belief in false information. They determine what information is false. You're paranoid. You see the devil everywhere. You have grandiose beliefs. You believe God is in control of everything and he'll do great and marvelous things. You have extreme guilt or feelings of being punished. You're incoherent or jumbled thoughts. If you're religious, you're crazy. Extreme emotional responses to religious topics. You mean like the joy of the Lord is my strength? Sing a joyful noise unto the Lord. Yeah, you're mentally ill, you idiot. You should be dancing to the Beatles. The extreme emotional response to religious topics. Withdrawing from social life. Yeah. I quit going out to the bars. Yeah, I quit going and drinking all that beer and cussing and carousing, looking at porn. Yeah, I withdrew from social life. I did. I'm crazy. Yeah, started neglecting responsibilities. What? Oh, yeah, you start going to church on Wednesday nights. Sunday. You went every Sunday. You follow those freaking holidays. You're freaking crazy, dude. And then you become defensive. And your response to reason. Hey, Vinny, I could have written this, couldn't I? Vinny, could I have written this or not? Folks, this is a scientific journal, Medical News Today, telling you what they think of religious people. Examples of religious delusions. Let's find out how some of you are nuts. Delusions of people may express the devils, demonic beings, or similar religious figures are persecuting them. That's a delusion that happens to religious people. They may display signs of paranoia, fear, or extreme distress, and frequently attempt to find a safe place to hide from that perceived threat. So the devil isn't real. Demons aren't real. You're nuts. Grandiose identity delusions. A person experiencing, folks, medical journal I'm reading. Person experiencing this kind of religious delusion may show signs of what is known as Messiah complex. They may believe they have special abilities or powers, are responsible for saving others from impending threats, or having a unique purpose or quest to complete. They may feel as though others are unable to understand their experience. They're freaking crazy. And then they have delusions of guilt. Medical journal, folks. Medical journal. Being taught to doctors all across America, Paul. This delusion may cause a person to believe they have committed unforgivable acts or unworthy of forgiveness. Oh, so if you preach the gospel to somebody and call them a sinner, you're giving them delusions of guilt. They may experience very low self-esteem and express remorse for having murdered their baby. That might cause severe depression. And it's those damn Christians that are doing it. Oh, and then they'll have delusions of control. This type of delusion occurs when individuals do not feel responsible for their movements and believe that a higher power is controlling them. Oh, yeah. So you believe the Holy Spirit is guiding your steps. You'd be nuts, boys and girls. Huh? Yeah. According to the Medical Association. They may feel overly aware of their physical movements and the consequences of any movement, believing that these movements are intentional actions made by another being. And then there's the Antichrist delusion. Medical journal. A person experiencing this type of delusion feels that either they or another person is the embodiment of an Antichrist. You got devils in you, brother. They may believe that they or another person is out to harm others. And this type of religious delusion is not common. It can cause a person to cause harm to others or the help. So how do I get help from this religious? How do I get help? Well, most people receive professional help for delusional disorders. Folks, they're talking about Christian believers. Do you understand this? Huh? Scroll on down. Scroll down, Spence. You got to get some help. Most people who receive professional help for delusional disorders, like believing in the Holy Spirit, power of God, and healing power, and God does miracles. Well, you'll have support from a friend of family members seeking help. And an individual believes that someone in their life is showing signs of religious delusions. It's important to provide support and seeking help as soon as possible. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? You want to know what the cause of religious delusions are? You know what happened to me? I met Christ and I found out I was a sinner. I looked in the mirror and I saw what I was. Yeah. But for you normal people out there, could be psychotic disorders, personality disorders, trauma, brain injury, depressive disorders. You understand that the medical company and those people who are in charge in government think you're freaking crazy. I've rambled on for 44 minutes. I'm going to shut up. Folks, that's what we're working. That's what we're dealing with. And not only that, we're dealing with that within Christianity. Some of you out there think I'm not Christian enough because I don't buy the whole Israel, Jewish, I don't buy all that. You think I'm crazy? You want me to go see a doctor? And I'm looking at it and saying, man, you need some help. You need to go see a doctor. That's the divide and conquer of the devil. Amen. All right. I'm sorry. I didn't have that. Go ahead, Craig. Hey, boom. This is a boom, isn't it, Vinny? Vinny, this has been a boom here today. Go ahead.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, as far as no hide law, it's a little myopic just to say, well, it's a Jewish thing. Okay, that's why I put it in the thing about the Quran. Okay, if you're looking at it in a narrow view, that's what you're going to see. All right. Mm-hmm. But, okay, if you don't understand the Muslim faith, you don't understand, you know, how they view Christ. All right. So they're a subset of that belief system. Okay. So the whole Noahide laws, okay, which were signed on March 20th, 1991 by George Bush. Notice that's pretty close to 321 equinox. That's signed into law. Okay. So John Paul II, the Pope, all right. And I put that in there. He was very big about breaking down the borders between the Catholicism and Muslims. Okay. As a matter of fact, Pope Francis kissed the one of their feet, one of the imam's feet. You remember that? Okay.
Yep.
So this, okay, what I'm trying to tell you is this is long-term stuff. This isn't individual stuff. What it is to get major religions.
Kings of this earth setting themselves and the rulers taking counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed, I would say. Go ahead.
It's to get major religious ideas correlated at the cost of who Jesus Christ is as being the Son of God. Okay. Right. That's why you have the Abrahamic house in the United Arab Emirates. Yep. You have three houses over there, over in the UAE. And that's why you have Chrislam. So all this is it's the antithesis to deny the authority that there's only one mediator between man and God, and that's Christ. And, you know, John Paul II took his name off John Paul I, who came in 1977 and 78 for 33 days before they decided to kill him because he was cleaning up the church because he saw where it was going. Okay. And that's why he took his name. So this is a long, you got to look at this long view stuff. You can't get too tied into one particular thing because you're going to miss the bigger narrative about it. And so after you have a World War III and you go and you say, gosh, we just lost all these people. Maybe we ought to just agree about these things at the cost of Christ. I believe that would be Albert Pike's Third World War.
Mm-hmm. So then the question we need to ask ourselves is, what is our role as Christians? Is our role to sit around and welcome in pre-written history. Because, hang on, Spencer, pull up, where is it? 11. Pull up 11. Why does God send a strong delusion in the end times? Time out a minute. Can I ask this question? Who told you it's the end times? Who told you it's the end times? Say, oh, well, Coach, I read that in the Bible. No, you didn't. Somebody directed you to it. And in the end times, God sends a strong delusion. It's the divine act of allowing those who have persistently rejected the truth of the gospel to be deceived. God sends the delusion. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. And for this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion, so that they will believe the lie. And so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. Friends, let me ask you a very simple question. Does that apply to anybody you go to church with? Or maybe you don't go to church with. Does that apply to any Christian denominations? God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie that you're born gay, that it's okay to kill a baby. I could go on. It's a delusion. And God sends it as a form of judgment. God gives each person choice to accept or reject the truth. Accepting the truth means embracing the teachings of Jesus. Time out a minute. Somebody help me out here. Does Jesus Christ today, just asking a question, Does he endorse the Torah? The Talmud? Although accepting the truth means embracing the teachings of Jesus Christ, which include obeying his commandments. This is love for God, to obey his commands. However, when one knows the truth but chooses not to obey it, it results in God's judgment. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth. Suppress it. Hold it down. They hold down the truth. They lay on top of it and hold it down. The danger here is clear. Knowing the truth, yet willfully choosing to reject it, places a person in a pretty perilous state, making them susceptible to God's righteous condemnation. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him nor gave thanks to him, but their thanking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. And although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. So God gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought to be done. Wow. James Thomas, come on. I'm sorry to take up so much of it. This is all over me today. Come on, James.
Yeah, I tell you, it sometimes this huddle just goes this way, and then it'll take a 90-degree turn. It's just it's like, maybe I should put my hand out. If you kind of go to Genesis chapter 3, and you know, it kind of says now the serpent, or the Nakash, was more shrewd, crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. Oh, full stop. This thing that God created for man was a relationship. So man, so the serpent got involved in it and he created religion. So when the religion started and the relationship ended, this is why we have the mess that we have, that we live in. It's God created Coach Dave and Greg and Randy and just named the people that he created us to fellowship with him. And the devil wants us to worship him.
That's right.
So how this goes from Genesis 3 as we read down to 3:15 about the fall and the seed of the woman. We have the three Abrahamic faiths merged in one spot, in one sphere of time. Those, you've got Judaism or Israel, or you've got Ishmael, and you've got Islam, and you have Christianity, whatever you define as Christianity, is either us relationship guys or religion Christianity. The R's of the religion is what causes the chaos. The relation, God desires for us people to have that relationship. So it's culminating into, we're going to serve one of these three. As we're approaching, to me, this season, we're going, these three entities, Judaism, Israel, Islam, what is the biggest threat to both Judaism and, or I don't know if you want to say Judaism or Israel, what is the biggest threat between Christianity? Who kills more people or have killed more people of those three faiths? And what is predominantly taking over the state of Texas and it's taken over all of Europe? It's going to take over Russia. It's Islam. And so the devil knows that if he can get the Christians to side with Islam, game over.
So thanks, James. So yesterday, after the ball game last night, LD, I call him Little Dave, my grandson, he had a good game. I mean, he did okay. And you know, we're in the car, we're riding. I said, Dave, you hungry? Gigi's with me. Me and David, and I'm driving. David, Gigi's in the back seat. Michelle's in the back seat. And we're driving, we're just talking. And David little 10-year-old David out of the goodness of his heart. I said, David, you hungry? Want to stop and get something to eat, Dave? And he said, sure, Grampy. Is there a Chick-fil-A? You think maybe we could find a Chick-fil-A? And I said, sure, Dave. So we drove around a little bit, and lo and behold, we pull in Chick-fil-A, and we get Chick-fil-A, and he got five things of chicken and French fries, and I handed it to him. I'm not glorifying my grandson. Okay, please stay with me a second. And he prayed over it. And then he said, Grampy and Gigi, I love you guys so much. You are so kind. My 10-year-old son said that to me. And I thought, that's my Heavenly Father. That's what he wants to do for me. See, I didn't buy Davey chicken strips because he got a home run, or he was 3 for 4, or he pitched 2 innings and got him out. I fed him because he's hungry and I love him. He didn't have to do anything. I'd have bought him chicken if he'd have struck out 4 times. But somewhere along the line, we've become convinced that we have to do these things for God to love us. That in itself is an idol. You want to earn your way with God's love? Really? And whether we realize it or not, that is, in fact, the underlying message that most of modern Christianity gives. A standard, heaping up commandments of men, making the word of God of none effect. Dave, here, have some chicken, because I love you. You are my grandson, and I'm honored to be able to provide for you. We worship religions. Do's and don'ts, and yes and no's, and do this, don't do that. Signs, everywhere signs. And I just sense in my own heart that we are so off course. That they're going to try to bring into us another set of rules that Christians have to follow. Be more righteous if we follow these rules. In fact, if I understand the Noahide laws properly, they cut your head off if you don't follow them. And what did Jesus say? It's only 2 rules. Love me with your whole heart, and your neighbor as much as you love yourself. And those 2, I believe it says, is all the law fulfilled. Pull that up, Spencer. Want to make sure people see that. You love your neighbor as yourself and the Lord your God with all of your heart. And into those 2 alone are all the laws. And yet we can't wait to bring in the Noahide laws. Got to bring in some more laws. Got to bring in some more. But in vain do they worship me, teaching his commandments and doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect. He's trying to find where it is. I don't know where it is either. Anybody know where it is? God, we're so freaking religious, good for nothing. 2 commandments. There's, Master, which is the greatest law? And Jesus said unto him, shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's the first and the greatest commandment. But by the way, the second is sort of like that. Love your neighbors yourself. On these 2 commands hang all the law and the prophets. Grampy, I sure love you and Gigi. See you tomorrow.